I think it's important for us to take time to tell one another what God's doing in our lives. You know, when we fail to do that, we miss an opportunity to give glory to God. And why do we give glory to God? I mean, God is God. He doesn't need anything. Why do we give glory to God? I wrestled with that for a while, believe it or not, some years back. I figured, well, God is big enough. He doesn't need my praise. He doesn't need me to tell him he's awesome. Why do we worry about giving God glory? Well, what I figured out is this. Giving God glory means, on a simple, basic level, it means giving him the attention that he deserves. And when I give God the attention that he deserves, what happens is that directs other people's attention to him. See, when I glorify God, people recognize him for who he is. And as people recognize him for who he is, they then know that they can depend on him as well. And when they know they can depend on him, they put their faith in him, and he does great things in their lives. And so you see, giving God glory is not because God is sitting up there lonely and sad and he needs us to cheer him up. Giving God glory is allowing the rest of the world the opportunity to find the one who is the mighty fortress, to find the one who is the great physician, to find the one who is a strong and mighty rock upon which we can build our lives. So we tell our story in order to give God glory so other folks know who he is and that they can trust him. If you've ever heard Dr. Paul Stripling, if you've ever heard him preach, I can guarantee you that you've heard him tell this story. He tells it every time he preaches. And it's the story of the lamplighter. He's told it here in our pulpit once or twice. It started with Sir Harry Lauder, a Scottish comedian. And he told the story of how when he was a child, he was staying in a hotel, and this was before they had streetlights. This was back when they had oil lamps that lined the street. And he said he remembered watching the lamplighter go up on this ladder, and he would light the oil at the top. He would light the lamp, and then he'd move farther down. He watched the lamplighter from the window of his hotel, and very soon the lamplighter started right at dusk, and very soon it got dark. And it was so dark that he couldn't see the lamplighter anymore, but every once in a while he could see another lamp come on. And so he said, "We knew where the lamplighter had been by the light that he left behind." That's exactly what I want us to think about this morning. I want us to think together about what it would mean for us to be lamp lighters. To help us with that, look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, when you get to the New Testament, you'll find the two big books, 1 and 2 Corinthians. After 2 Corinthians, it's just two small books to the right. Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to look at verse 8. Ephesians 5 at verse 8. "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." There's a couple of things that jumped out at me when I read that. I probably had seen it many times throughout my life, and it just didn't jump out to me until I was getting ready for this message. I've always understood that to say you used to be in the darkness. Now you have come into the light. But that's not what it says, is it? Look at it carefully again in verse 8. For you were formerly darkness. Not in it. You was it. You were darkness. But now, not that you've come into the light, what does he say? Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, you were darkness. But now that the light of the world has come into your life, now you are light. And when I read that, I remembered when Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You remember? First he said, I am the light of the world. But then he told his disciples, you are the light of the world. He didn't say, go into the light. He said, you're it. In other words, if you don't shine, there will be no light. Because you're it. You are the way by which God wants to bring light into a dark world. As believers in Christ, we are the light that this dark world needs so desperately. And so with that in mind, I want us to think about a few things together this morning. The first thing that we have to think about is what we might call undercover Christians. Those who, although they are the light of the world, they hide their light. They'd rather not folks know about their light. I read an author recently who said, you know, this is the age of coming out of the closet. He was talking about a movement among prostitutes where they want to have certain civil rights, or what they call civil rights. They want to have certain rights that will protect them and their profession. And so he talked about how the prostitutes are coming out of the closet. He talked about Jenner comes out of the closet. Yeah. And he said, you know, everybody in our society is coming out of the closet these days, except, can you hear it coming? Except those people who are hiding back there behind the coats and underneath the scarves, hanging onto their lamp lighter's pole, afraid that someone might know that they're believers. Undercover Christians. I'm a believer, but I don't want anybody to know about it. We play this kind of spy game. Man, some of the best cop shows on TV and in the movies are the undercover cops, you know, where the people around them don't know they're real cops, but they really are. And we kind of like to do Christianity that way, I think, sometimes. Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I got that settled. But man, I got to hide that. I got to blend in. I got to make sure everybody sees me like a normal everyday Joe, and they don't know who I really am. And unfortunately, we can get pretty good at hiding that light. And so Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that everyone can see it. Yeah, the last part is paraphrased because it went away. They put it on that bowl, on that stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. You see, our goal is not to hide the light. We're the only light this world has. It is easier at times to be undercover Christians, and I'm going to tell you something now that is not fun to hear or fun to say. But we're living in a time where it is going to be more and more difficult and scary and dangerous for us to come out and be strong and let our light shine. It's going to be easier and easier and easier for Christians to be undercover and hide their light and don't let anybody know. As time goes on, we're going to find out what real persecution is. And I'm just warning you ahead of time so that you can decide now while it's fairly easy, I'm going to let my light shine no matter what. We have to think together about undercover Christians. And then, secondly, we need to think together this morning about Christ's command. Christ's command in the last part of Matthew, the very last few verses of Matthew, in Matthew 28 at 19, he says, "Go therefore," and by the way, that word means as you're in the process of going, while you're living your everyday life. "As you're going about life, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be there with you, but you've got to go as you go. You've got to tell them the truth. You've got to let your light shine. You've got to tell your story." Why? To give God glory. A businessman had a layover in Dallas, and because he was a believer, he wondered how he could use that hour and 20 minutes layover for good purpose. He just happened to have some tracts in his briefcase, and so he took those tracts out and he put his business card in each one, and he kind of went around and handed those tracts with his business card to everybody in that part of the airport. He said, "Here, this will tell you how to become a Christian. If you want to know more, I'm sitting right over there, and my plane leaves in an hour and 20 minutes. Or if you want to write me, my business card is in there, and you can just write me. I'll be glad to answer any questions I can." What do you think happened? Before his plane left, there was a group of people around him, three or four deep, all asking questions and trying to find out what it means to be a Christian. And it said for weeks after that, he was answering letters from those that got his business card. And I know that's not the way most of us are going to wind up sharing our story. But my point is, he found a way. And when he found a way, there were folks who wanted to listen. And the same is true in your life. You probably won't be the kind of person that wants to have a stack of tracts with your business card and hand it out at the airport. But when you go to work tomorrow, maybe you have a chance to tell somebody, "Man, I was hurting last week and God took care of me and He loves you." You find a way to tell your story, and that winds up bringing God glory. The third thing that we need to think about as we consider what it means to be lamplighters, the third thing that we need to think about this morning is to make your life count forever. You know, we had to come to grips with undercover Christians. We needed to hear Christ's command. And now I want to tell you to make your life count forever. You've heard of Michelangelo, famous sculptor, famous artist. Michelangelo once carved several statues out of ice on a cold winter day. And they were beautiful. People came around to admire them, and they loved them. But soon, the sun rose higher and the statues melted. We would think, my goodness, how foolish for someone to spend that much time to leave a legacy in ice that would turn to water and mud. But as silly as that seems, many of us spend most of our time carving in ice. We're making a living, or we're fixing the house, or we're building a name for ourselves. And what is all that really going to matter in 500 years? Think about it for a moment. Is there anything that you could do or say today that would actually have an impact in 500 years? The easiest way I know to have an impact that far off is to tell somebody my story so that they can begin to trust in Christ, give God glory, and eternity is changed for them, and I've made an impact that lasts forever. You see, we make our life count forever, and the way we do that is number four, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Don't be afraid to let the people around you in your world know who you are. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine in such a manner that men see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I remind you of that of each Christmas Eve after we light our candles. As we leave, I remind you, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You don't let your light shine so that everybody says, wow, look at them. It's not about getting on the stage and being in the spotlight. It's not let your light shine so people can see how wonderful you are. You let your light shine so people see your good works and they glorify your Father. You let your light shine so that people see there's a story here. Something changed in Daryl's life. I want to know what that is. And when I find out what it is, I wind up giving God glory. You let your light shine in such a way that people see your good works and they glorify your Father who's in heaven. You're familiar with Robert Louis Stevenson, author of the books like Treasure Island and so many others. Well, he was of the age that when he was young, he saw a lamplighter as well. And as evening came, he looked out of the front window and he saw that lamplighter coming down the street. And he called to his Nana. He said, Nana, come quick. There's a man coming down the street punching holes in the darkness. Punching holes in the darkness. Could it be that that is one of the primary purposes of the church? To be out there, punching holes in the darkness. To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. A city is not lit up and hidden. You put it on a hill. I want to say to you this morning that if you will let the world know who you are by telling your story, that your light can have such an impact that it can change eternity for someone, and it will always bring God glory. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to be light in a dark world. Help us, Father, that we would honor you, glorify you, by letting our light shine, by letting people see Jesus in us. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to serve you in that way. And that whatever step we need to take today to come out from being undercover, to come out from under the bushel, whatever step we need to take of obedience that will allow our light to shine as you intended, help us to know what we need to do and to do it this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.